I'm joined today in the living room with Jerica Miguel. How are you doing, Jerica?
I'm doing really, really good. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you here in the living room for this special session for WXPR. It's part of our Produced at Home concert series. You know, everything that we're doing during the pandemic to keep people safe. Mm-hmm. Wearing masks, washing hands, and making our radio programs at home. And like I said, I can't thank you enough for making the drive today to be part of this. Where do we begin?
Where do you want to begin?
Maybe we could begin with a song. Would you?
I'm feeling that.
What are you feeling song-wise?
I want to do a song. I tend to start with this one to help ease my nerves. It's from my first album, Like the Sea. The song is called Where Are You Now? And I wrote this just trying to figure my way back to myself.
Carry on.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
You said that was from your first album?
Yes, my first album I released in January of 2017.
You are just preparing right now to release your next record.
Yes.
And that is called The Brightest Star.
Correct.
And you've got a single out. It's called Trouble.
Yes.
What a cool tune. Gritty, swampy. It's got that, it's almost like a spiritual.
I feel spiritual when I sing it, you know. I feel like I'm tapping into something in some other plane.
The album was a tribute and came out of the loss of your mother, you know, and all the feelings and emotions that go with that.
Yeah, trying to process all of that. It's a heavy weight to bear, and I'm so grateful I had music to help me get through the depths of it.
How big is your family?
I have 7 siblings.
7.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I'm 5th born, so I'm like one of the middles. Most of us were musical. 2 of my sisters and I were in a band together. That's how I got my musical start. Music has always been it, and that was a huge love of our mom's, too. It was her dream to be a musician, but it was also her dream to be a mother, and that was what won in the end.
What a gift. What a gift. Yeah. Not only for her to give you kids that growing up, the love and appreciation of music, but to have that transform into such a wonderful tribute.
Yeah.
To her.
That's a good way to put it. Are you getting a
I'm clamped? Getting a little misty up here.
Don't do it or I will.
Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your music and a little
Scott.
Bit about your path here with us and on the program. And is there a song that maybe you want to play next?
Should we do Trouble?
You want to do Trouble?
Should we, since you brought it up? It's a big one.
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Oh, I don't know if
I don't know. Well, we're doing all this hype on it now. Maybe we should.
You know, when I was here, I was talking to my friend Stovepipe Stevens. I had a session with him the other day, and, well, what does she sound like? And I said, well, you can listen to this brand new single that she's got out for her album that she's going to release. It's called Trouble. And he says, you know, lots of people got songs called Trouble. This better be good.
Well, did he give it a try and see?
Oh, we loved it. Are you kidding
good,
me?
Good,
it
good,
was
good.
Awesome. Yeah. It was great.
I've been all alone, nearly lifeless, but I can feel it shaking in my bones.
Wow. That is crazy powerful.
Crazy powerful or crazy
awesome.
Loud.
You are just awesome. Oh, you are thanks. Awesome.
Thank you.
I knew it was going to be a powerhouse when I heard that on the recording, but you just deliver the goods.
I feel like the house vibrated a little bit.
Shaking the foundation there.
It was an attempt to blow the roof off.
Yeah.
I'll have to try harder.
The one-woman wall of sound. That is Jerrica Miguel.
Ooh, that's a t-shirt.
Wow. You are doing some great stuff for Folk Alliance International, right?
Yes. Folk
Alliance. Tell me about that. Tell me what's going on with that. You got some performances, some workshops.
This is my first time doing it. So it's virtual, obviously, this year. So they're calling it Folk Unlocked. I have two performances. I've chose the morning time because it's international. So the time frames of performances, showcases, are starting at like 6 p.m. and go all through midnight into the next morning. And I chose the morning slot. Hopefully there wasn't a lot of competition in the morning, and hopefully people will be awake at 8:30. My first one will be February 24th, the day the album releases, at 8:30. And they're doing... I'm still discovering what's available to me through it, but I also am super excited. I signed up for a mentorship with a folk artist named Mary Bragg, and I'm not terribly familiar with her, but I think that she, I was looking her up, and she definitely has a history, and she's amazing, and how cool that they put that in place for us who are trying to make it in some capacity. We get to talk to people who have and get feedback from them. So I'm really looking forward to that. And whatever else they're going to teach me about, you know, I'm interested in social justice music too, socially conscious. So I'm going to attend some talks on that as well. So yeah, it's a Folk Alliance this week. It's going to be awesome. It happens to be at the exact same week as my album release. So that is pretty, it's perfect timing. I'm from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and in my hometown, there's a beautiful theater called Pablo Center for the Arts, and they have been putting on Pablo streams during the pandemic, and it's been beautiful quality, audio and visual, high, you know, they have the state-of-the-art technology. It's a brand new building. So my release show gets to be with them, and I'll be having a full band, the same people who are featured on the album. And it's free to attend. You can just go to Pablo's website, or if you find me on social media, just register. It's real easy. It takes less than a minute.
Yeah.
But stay here to come back to this if you go and register
do
now.
Do it afterwards.
Do it after. But don't forget it.
Don't forget. That just sounds like such a cool thing. You're going to do this, the Pablo, with the folks that recorded with you. Are they your band? Are they session players that were handpicked? Are they hopefully going to be your touring band?
They were session players who I handpicked. Evan Middlesworth we recorded at his studio, Pine Hollow, and he also plays on it. He plays electric, piano, bass. He produced it and mixed it. So he helped me pick, but I definitely wanted Shane Leonard on drums. And, well, I wanted everybody that was there. Evan helped pick our bassist, Robbie Weishaar. And then my sister Elizabeth is on it, too. She was the lead singer of our sister band, trio band, Quinn Elizabeth. So, well, hence Quinn Elizabeth. Elizabeth, my sister Elizabeth is in it. She named the band after herself, kind of, which we always wanted her to change it, but... Like, what about us? But anyways, Elizabeth and then my friend... It's sister banter, and she's not even here. She doesn't even get to hear this. She's not even here, and I'm bantering at her.
Of course.
And then Serena Wagner, who also did all the artwork. Everything you see visually is Serena Wagner's work, and it's amazing because Serena has helped bring such beautiful visuals to this very personal album. So Serena is wearing many hats.
How did you get in touch with Serena? Is she from the local community there that you were able to network with in that regard, obviously?
Yeah, I've known Serena.
Did she do work on your previous record?
Well, Serena did the artwork, graphics and stuff for all the marketing stuff for the first album. And I've known Serena since college years. Sure. And then now they are also in a band called Sniffle Party that is incredible. And it was on some major television show. And Serena's also my next door neighbor.
No
so,
way.
Yeah. So in our pandemic, Serena's been a little bit a part of our little circle, mostly in the summertime when it was safer to be outside. But yeah, I have highly talented people, and I feel entirely blessed, and I'm still trying to tell myself I deserve it. But I'm thrilled with how everything has turned out and everything that everybody has contributed, all the help and their talents. Like, Eau Claire's full of so many talented people. It's insane.
Oh, yeah. You guys got just a, what they call, what, the music mecca of the Northwoods?
Music capital of the North.
There's so much going on there. There's been this resurgence of the arts, and Eau Claire has always been kind of an area where all that's very conducive. You know, the universities and the proximity to the metro area of the Twin Cities and all that.
Yeah, it does help with where it is placed on a map, that's for sure.
But, I mean, yeah, so many cool things have happened there. You know, including the creation of the Pablo, you know, going up. It's just, was the breaking point the Bon Iver thing that really just brought, you know, national attention to the town and then gave people the notion that, hey, in rural America, the arts can help us succeed?
Yeah, basically. I mean, we have this local arts paper called Volume 1, and the Volume 1 has been a huge platform in which to share the arts. And I didn't know we had so much art here until Volume 1. And then obviously Justin Vernon and Bon Iver blew up. And Justin just has always put Eau Claire in one of his priorities. And he has helped build it to be such a beautiful art place. We have a lot of gratitude. I have a lot of gratitude for him for everything he's done in the arts community for us. He really has.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And so cool that, you know, the art, it's just one way that the arts just continue to give back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a beautiful circle and a cycle. Yeah. You want to do us another song?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
That's right. I have a guitar here. Let's do. For some reason, I'm feeling a song called Train Song. Train Song I wrote also on my first album. It's a song about forgiveness. The first album is mostly about a breakup and the process of coming back to myself after that. And the Train Song is needing forgiveness so that I can move on and that person can move on too.
It's Jericho Miguel right here on the Midwest Music Hour, a special live from the living room session. This is her with Train Song.
All right.
Until then, I deserve no one.
Train song. That's so cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I guess I was just going to ask you to just maybe share with us some of your musical influences.
Ooh, yes.
And
I love, probably the biggest one is Patti Griffin and Peter Gabriel. Patti Griffin for her songwriting and her incredible voice, her melodies. Now that I'm thinking of it, her song Kane, which can only be found in like the Lilith Fair Volume 2 or something, is so incredible. She's rootsy. She's kind of like a spiritual. And I bet I was very influenced by that in my own playing. I also love Tracy Chapman. I was very influenced by her socially conscious songs. I've always felt like she's been telling my story a little bit. Peter Gabriel, I grew up listening to him. We'd go for long car rides and let's put Peter Gabriel on. My favorite album ever is Secret World Live, which is his live album from his album, from his tour, his Secret World tour. Who else do I love? More recently, I would say I love Phoebe Bridgers. I wrote a few songs with shortly after I first heard Phoebe Bridgers. And, man, Phoebe helped me cry out my grief when I first discovered her after my mom passed away. S.G. Goodman is somebody just within the past couple months. She's out of, I think, Tennessee. And she released an album that is haunting and I don't know how to describe it. Her lyrics are poetry. I'm a person who listens to lyrics, so if a song has good lyrics, it tends to pull me in, and if the melody is something that just, like, cuts straight through into my heart, that's what catches me, too. And, yeah, Patti Griffin is one who has always done it without fail. Yeah. I know I'm missing hundreds of others, but those are the ones I can think of right now.
That's an incredible list.
Yeah.
In terms of writing as well, are you a fan of poetry, and have there been writers who have been influential on your writing?
I wish I could say yes to that. I wish I did read more poetry. But no, it's not. I don't know what inspires. I think it's just songs itself. I do read. I read a lot, but I'm more reading for like nonfiction and education. But no, I like to write. I've always liked to write poetry, which when I finally discovered this guitar when I was like, I don't know, 28 years old, I was able to put that poetry into melodies and add music to it. So it seemed to be a relationship meant to happen.
Where did you meet?
We met in Colorado. She was sitting at a guitar shop, and I was just at the music store with somebody, and I just happened to be looking, and it was love at first sight. I didn't buy it right away. I went home, and the next day, and the next day after that, I could not stop thinking about it.
Yeah, that's how you know it was meant to be.
Yes. you know. So this has been my guitar for like maybe 12 years now. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's got a great sound. It's a super cool finish on there, and that's your wear and tear, right?
It is, yeah. I don't want to put anything there. I like Willie Nelson's idea. Just let it be natural, you know? Get the holes in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that sticker, you've got a sticker on it that says Truth and Love.
Yeah. Truth and Love Are the Way. That's a quote from my mom. We made a sticker out of it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sweet sound in guitar, and it travels really well for you. It's been your main instrument. You record with that in the studio as well. And
yeah.
Fantastic.
I know. In moments when I was single, I was like, I'm not single. I got my guitar. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
I've said that a time or two myself. You're pretty much married to your music, you know. If you, you know, and everybody's got to find their place in the pecking order accordingly, yeah. Right?
Yes, you do. And this guitar is up there in the pecking order.
So getting back to the creation of this album, Brightest Star, when you're sitting in the studio, you mentioned that you had the producer that you worked with helping you kind of assemble some parts of the crew. You had other people in mind that you wanted to work with. Where do you go from here with that? You've got this concert next week. Mm-hmm. Is with the pandemic and everything, obviously live shows are, you know, severely limited, but but is there a light at the end of the tunnel for you and for that group and for for going out there and you know, and giving her?
That is a question that's still out there waiting for an answer. I would love to book a tour, and if this band would love to come with me, or at least like, you don't have to love to, but if they would come, I would love it. But it hasn't been anything we've talked about. It was, you know, at this point, they were my session players that I was lucky enough to have be there with me. And I know they're all very talented musicians. They each have their own projects, and but there is no plans, because I've seen musicians book tours, cancel them over and over, and I'm just going to wait it out and see. I have a full-time job, so I'm making money. I'm doing okay. Obviously, being a musician would be an ultimate goal. But we'll see. We'll see what this album does. We'll see what virtual streaming does. We'll see what happens. It's just a huge, giant question mark, and it is for a lot of us musicians.
Yeah, absolutely. Just you doing a lot of solo gigs normally, or gigs with your sisters, maybe small ensembles and whatnot. And
yeah, I did a lot of solo stuff, mostly solo shows. But whenever I invite my sisters to every single one, because they can sing harmonies to any of the songs. They are on, both of them, Elizabeth and Jerissa, who are, I say both, I have five sisters, but these two, the three of us were the musicians. They are on like the sea. They're all over it. All their harmonies, I love it. So they always get invited, and I tell them it's an open invitation, but they're full-time workers, full-time moms, and it's hard for them to fit this into their life with their professional careers. They're both librarians. I don't know how that didn't happen to me. I worked at the library, but
that is so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They're great at it.
I love libraries, you know.
Let's talk about libraries. I love them too.
And how are libraries doing right now, right?
The one in Eau Claire's been shut down, and they are not shut down, they just don't let people in. They do curbside pickup.
Oh, sure. Order your book ahead of time. Pick it up in the Dropbox.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Libraries do get wrapped up in controversy sometimes. Some towns or cities that they're placed in aren't comfortable with the content that libraries will, you know, have faced forward. But libraries are part of the community, and it is their mission to reach everybody in it. So, like, say, you know, a book about my two moms. That could be controversial in another library. I know our library in Eau Claire, they're very social conscious. They have their advocates for social justice, and I really appreciate how they are. But I know that libraries, because of the power they have, you know, they could abuse it and push other jargon and rhetoric and stuff that just promotes a conservative ideal and age-old ideas, instead of moving forward. I feel like all of a sudden we're going off on libraries. I do love libraries. I told you I love them. Go to your library. Support them.
Support them libraries. Mm-hmm. I know that some libraries are out there. They even have concert series with artists and everything.
Well, if we want to talk about that, I'm a juror on Eau Claire's library. It's called Sawdust City Sounds. And
really?
Local musicians can submit their work, and then if it's accepted, it gets to be part of a playlist. It's kind of like the library's Spotify.
No way.
And you can go there and access all the music for free.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I think that there it is. That's what I'm saying. Libraries do more than just offer you books, and it's in a place where you have to be quiet. It's not that. And they host shows then where they feature the artists who get into the Sawdust City Sounds. During the pandemic, they had virtual shows. But yeah, see, just saying, love your library.
Love the library. You got another song cooking there? And
yeah, I do. I have another single that's out right now too, that I'll play that song. I just have to find my, I dropped one. Here it is. This song is Brightest Star. It's the title track. I wrote this song because my mom said energy never dies, and she said she would live forever, that she's not going to die. And so I got to thinking, well, if that's true, then how, if you're somewhere, someplace, in some capacity, how do I reach you? So that's, this song is asking that question. When will you come back? How will I know it's you? Is it something I'm missing? Something I've yet to do? How do I reach you? Find the truth.
Incredibly beautiful.
Thank you.
Self-taught on the guitar, or you had some help in that?
Self-taught. I like to say that Patty Griffin taught me, because I went onto, I think it's ultimateguitartabs.com, and I found her songs, my favorites, Mary and Up to the Mountain and Heavenly Day, and I started learning her chords and what she did, and then I started messing around with them and putting my own lyrics and making my own melodies. But it all started with Patty Griffin and Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. Was a jumping off place too. Oh, taught classics. Myself. Or classics. They taught me, you know.
Yeah. A lot of the gigs that you're playing Are they original music format?
Yeah, they're mostly original.
Wind in a cover of
I do covers here and there. Like, I don't know if you're allowed covers here. If you want, I can play one.
If you'd like to, you are certainly more than welcome to.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I do covers, though, when it allows. It's mostly original, and the covers I choose are just ones that happen to just, like, I fell in love with, you know? Like, I don't know. Now I'm thinking about it. I can do Up to the Mountain by Patty Griffin. I love that one. It was actually also my mom's, one of her favorite songs. Do you want me to do that? Should I jump into a song?
Sure, let's do it. Let's do it. That sounds awesome to me.
All right. Let's give it a whirl. Thank you, everybody, for listening, by the way. I'm Jerrica Miguel. That's me. And this is Patty Griffin. Song. Okay. I went up to the mountain because you asked me to. Up over the clouds to a sky was blue. I could see all around me everywhere. I could see your sometimes I feel like I've never been nothing but tired, and I'll be walking until the day I expire. Sometimes I lay down, no more.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
There's just got to be I think there's something about the honesty in the artistry that is what draws people to connect with songwriter through their performance and through their music. And to have such an unabashedly honest album in this release, Brightest Star, I said it earlier, but it's such, it seems like it's just such a huge gift, you know, not only from where it came, but to where it goes.
Oh, wow, that is so beautiful. Thank you for saying that. Wow. It feels true, too, yeah.
Yeah, everybody experiences mortality, and how we deal with it is not always a positive way to deal with it. Mm. And so a gift to be an artist, to be able to deal with it through creation.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. It's a beautiful source to be able to share the human experience through.
So thank you so much for opening up your soul and your music and your art to me today with the session and to the audience out there listening. And it's just really, it's raw and it's real and it's just so palpable. You've been gearing up for it for a while. How long were you guys in the studio for? A few months, a couple sessions?
Good question. We just did it a Saturday and Sunday, and then I have a full-time job, so then we did a Monday or two afternoons, a Monday and Tuesday after that. So it wasn't long. These guys are professionals, and they nailed it right away. So when I went into the studio, you know, one of the things I was nervous about was, do I tell them how they should play? And I decided that I'm just going to let them create their own thing and trust the process and trust them that they know what they're doing. Because as we said, we picked them purposefully and they did a beautiful job. And if anybody is dealing with the imposter syndrome like I often do, trust the process. Trust that you do belong exactly where you are. Yeah, but I got lucky.
You want to talk about your team for a moment? You know, because
the crew of people I got
putting out
me?
An album is one thing, but amazing crew assembled to assist you with that, that's invaluable.
Oh my gosh, totally. I've had, Serena Wagner, who I brought up earlier, has done all my graphics and the album design and helped me with social media. I had someone helping me with social media too, Nicole Johnson. And then I have a wonderful publicist, Karen Wells Verlander. And she's been working hard, getting the word out to all the press that I exist in the world, and she's done a wonderful job. And I would consider Evan Middlesworth a part of my team too, because he helped, you know, he's been a mentor to me in that he is so generous with the knowledge he's gained, and he produced the album, and he will probably produce the next one if he I'm sure. Evan, will you please produce the next one? I don't want to assume.
You're making beautiful things here, Ev, bud. Come on, man. Let's keep her going.
Yeah. And obviously my family has always been a part of my team and super, super supportive. One thing that my mom, after she passed, is the greatest gift she gave me was my best friends, my sisters and my brothers. So they've been an amazing support the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in my family who doesn't have a child, so I have the most nieces and nephews in my family. I win at that game. I'm a competitive person. But I have 17 nieces and nephews now, and 2, 3 great niece and nephew. I can't remember. There's too many, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard to keep track when there's that many.
You know, my kid listens to, you know, them Coolie Boys and Dead Horses and, you know, Trampled by Turtles all day long or whatever.
Kids
and
have cool tastes in music. They really do.
Oh, absolutely.
They
yeah.
do. I know. I do have one song that I've been told several times I shouldn't make it into. It's just a stomp clap song. I'm just like, dance, 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 come on, baby, let's dance. Dance, 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 come on, baby, let's dance. Dance, 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 come on, baby, let's dance. dance, dance, dance. Come on, baby, let's dance. That's it.
I love it.
It's so simple, right? But and then you can insert names like, come on, Maddie, let's dance. Come on, Elton, let's dance.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah. Let's do that. Put that on your next.
That's a future release. It would be right fun. There. It would be. Maybe I'll. Yeah. I like that. It's a good suggestion. The Grief Song is a song I wrote when I was in the depths of the sadness of losing my mom and trying to process all of what that means. We lived together when she passed, and I went from her always being there to just being utterly alone. So it was extra, extra hard. So this is the song that expresses all of that. Okay. right now.
Jerica Miguel, right here on the Midwest Music Hour. It's a special Live from the Living Room session. What a real treat it's been today to have you here for this session. I can't thank you enough. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed our talking and chatting. And yeah, I hope Rhinelander knows how lucky they are to have someone like you around here.
Oh, some days are better than others.
Today's a good day, guys.
No, we do. We have a wonderfully supportive community here, and it's really incredible to be part of it. Folks that support me as an artist and folks that dig what WXPR does. We've got our own little cultural hub that's, I want to say festering, but that almost seems weird to say festering. But
It's marinating?
It's marinating. Yeah. Right. It's marinating and slowly becoming a tastier, exquisite dish.
Ooh, way to build off that. Yes. I love it. It's making me hungry.
Well, speaking of, yeah, let me just say thanks. I don't know. Is there... If we could, I mean, we could, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. I mean, just for the sake of the program cutting down, one more tune would be amazing. I don't want to pressure you, push it on you if you don't want to, but yeah, then we just for good measure for that and whatnot, that'd be amazing. I'd love that.
I will do that for you.
Super. Thank you so much.
I'm trying to think, should I do one from the new album or, you know what, let's do this gritty one. Do you want another gritty one? It's, you know, usually at live shows, I'm able to, like, kind of gauge from the audience how they've been reacting and what they're wanting. I'm getting the sense, though, since my main audience is you, Scott, that you're open to whatever, right?
I love it all.
Yeah. Okay.
I would just take whatever you... Okay. whatever, yeah, for all sure. Right. Beggars can't be choosers, you know. You can't go wrong with nothing, you know.
That's true. You can't. All right. So this one is another one of those rootsy, gritty ones, and I wrote it before my mom passed away, and it was her that helped me feel comfortable with even exploring this side of my voice, because when she first heard it, she's like, wow, Jerica, your voice is changing on here. This is doing something special. So this is a song about inheriting the pain of your mother and your mother's mother and your mother's 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 mother, how trauma continues to pass through generational lines, and it's called Oh Mama. dancing with the trees, dancing with dancing, when you're gonna be free.
Jerica Miguel. Wow, what a absolute treat. Thank you so much again.
Treat for me too, Scott. Oh, thank you.
Really sweet, really cool. The album is The Brightest Star. It's released next Wednesday, February 24th. You can find it at jericomiguel.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's special broadcast of the program. Thanks, Colleen. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks, everybody else. Oh, golly, golly. Geez. Take care of yourselves out there. Be good to yourselves. Be good to one another. Stay safe. Take care. Until next time, everybody.